The title of my sermon this morning is Our Daily Bread. I think I can remember from growing up a reference to a Bible study, Our Daily Bread, that I saw from time to time. It always reminded me the idea that God's Word was our daily bread. That we lived from day to day based on what God had told us through His Word, the Bible, to do, what to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It says, give us this day our daily bread. God has created the earth and all of the life upon it, including man. The planet is designed to sustain us. The air nourishes our life's blood. With each breath we take, God sustains us and all generations to come. God is our provider. God provides for us. Everything that we need comes from God. Everything is designed to sustain us, to nurture us, so that we will have life, so that we will be able to see with our eyes God's creation and glorify Him, so that we will be able to hear with our ears God's creation and glorify Him. Our senses. To realize that God is, that God has created all of these things, that He created us, to worship Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him. It is said that God gives every bird its food, but He doesn't put it in their mouths. Nevertheless, look how far God goes. By providing the parents of those little birds to put the food in their mouth. God has provided the little birds with parents that do put the food in their mouth. That's just how far God goes. He has provided us with parents that love us and nurture us and protect us, feed us and clothe us. As we grow up, as we're helpless to defend for ourselves, God has provided. What a great provider God is. How lucky we are to have, how lucky creation is to have such a God that is so great a provider. What does God want from us? That we live humbly, that we walk with Him, that we obey Him, that we worship Him, that we respect Him, that we give glory to Him in our very existence from day to day. Parents nurture us until we can reach out, until we are strong enough, till we are mature enough, to gather the earth's abundance for ourselves. We don't live on a... You look at the astronomy and the different things of the different planets, the other planets within our own solar system. You look at Mars. It's just a rock. It's a cold, desolate, frozen wasteland with apparently no life at all on it. But we live on a planet of abundance. I can't even begin. It just boggles my mind to even think of all the different kind of life forms on this single planet. It's just a mind-boggling possibility. You can't hardly go anywhere on this planet without finding life. They go to places like the Antarctic wastelands, and they'll find life there. They'll dig down in the ice, and they'll find life. They go down into to the depths of the ocean where it's like the water is boiling. And they find life there, in the boiling water. There's no sunlight. And the organisms live off of sulfur dioxide and no light. And it's just boggles the mind of God's creativity. The depth and the breadth of it is just what it causes us to glorify God. It causes us to stop and think about it. And you see, therein lies the whole crux of the matter, is that through God's creation and through that realization that He has made us completely able to be able to be aware of, there is no excuse for man to not know God, to not know that God exists. He's already set it up so that man is without excuse. Somebody's going to come along and say, you know, I lived here on earth all of those years, my whole life. I saw all of that. I saw all of the billions of stars and knew about all the galaxies and all the planets and all of that and all of the creation and all of the life. But, you know, I never knew God existed. Well, that's not going to be a valid argument, because all of those things are the proof. If no one ever steps foot on their doorstep and tells them about God and tells them about Jesus, they don't have an excuse for not seeking God out. They don't have an excuse for believing that God doesn't exist. There is no excuse for atheism. Atheism is just no excuse for it. The very creation nullifies that argument. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This statement about there is no variation or shadow of turning, in our lives when we deal with people that are shifty. We deal with people that, even at the best people that we know, can sometimes fail us. We might rely on them to do something for us or be there for us, whether it's a parent or a friend. You know in your own heart that even though you want to believe that they could always and would always be there to support you, to help you, that the fact is that you can't always completely depend on them. People change. I've known people sometimes for decades, and they change. One day they're believing this, and then decades later they say, well, you know, that doesn't matter. The baptism, water immersion baptism, doesn't really matter. I'm going to go over here to this other group that doesn't preach that that's essential. People change. Your own parents may change. You may grow up into a family and find out that one of your parents commits adultery and runs around and causes the family to break up. Your whole life you spend believing in them, and you find out they change. But the Bible oftentimes, in many cases, tells us that God does not vary like that. He doesn't change like that. He's the same God as He was in the beginning. He's the same God all along. He's the same God that all the way through, no varying, no changing. We can rely on Him not to lie to us, not to change as a being, His character. And this tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, from God, with whom there is no variation or shadow, or turning. That makes God the best provider. That makes God the great provider, the great God that he is, because he doesn't change. He doesn't vary. He's not wishy-washy. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. The same God today as he is forever. God is dependable. Give us this day our daily bread. This is not a demand, but an humble petition to our God. It has less to do with food and survival and more to do with the realization that we are but naive, ignorant children that need God's guidance and wisdom. We need God's guidance and wisdom. Just like your children, your little ones, need you to look out for them, need you to protect them, feed them, nourish them. We need God. Man, humans need God the same way. We are but ignorant and naive children. We don't understand. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were naive when they were tempted. They were naive about what was going on. They needed to trust God and what God had said. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't mess with it. Leave it alone. They needed to trust God's guidance. But they were ignorant. They were naive. They needed God's guidance. They needed to follow God's guidance. Man, no matter how old you ever get, you're always going to need God to guide you, because you definitely don't know and never will know everything. You never will understand. If you found yourself into a situation after you die and things just aren't the way you think they should be, would you doubt? Would you doubt God? God's existence? All of us are like, God doesn't exist. He doesn't really exist at all. I still exist. I still exist. I still think. How? I don't know. I'm not going to think about that. But would you find yourself doubting? We don't know what kind of situations we put in. Job had no idea what was happening to him or why. The kinds of things that happen to him are just beyond explanation. And in the real world, nobody has that kind of bad luck. Supernatural. Do we begin to doubt? God is the great provider. Our attitude should be to God, give us our daily bread. Give us life. Give us your wisdom, God. Provide for us your word. So wrapped up in the business of daily life, we, like Jesus' first disciples, missed the point. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason amongst yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see how important the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was? You see how important what they believed and what they taught? Now today you have a lot of people, a lot of religious people who spend a lot of time in different religious schools and what have you, and they'll come out and they'll say, you know, in the end, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Is that what Jesus is telling his disciples? That it just doesn't matter whatever your doctrine is as long as you're sincere about it? No, he's telling them, beware of it. Beware of their doctrine. Because it's wrong. It's false. Only the truth can set you free. God's word is the truth. He's telling them, beware of that. They didn't understand at first, anyway. They thought he was talking about the physical things of life. What he was trying to teach them was that doctrine is important. It is essential that you have the correct doctrine, the correct teachings. Doctrine is not just something that's optional. Jesus understood. In Matthew chapter 4, we turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our daily bread. That is what we are to live on. Is that part of your diet? The Word of God? To read it? To understand it? To let it dwell richly within you? Jesus understood, and we must understand too. Our daily bread is the Word of God. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus had just fed a whole bunch of people. It was a miracle. And people, generally speaking, they have to work. And work is not fun to do. But people have to work. They have to earn money. And then they buy their food. Here they got it for free. They got a free meal. They got a free dinner. And they come and they follow Jesus. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They were interested in that. Well, we can just give up working. Just follow this guy around, he'll feed us. They were interested in the flesh, in the things of the flesh, not the things of the Spirit. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses who did it. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of life, Jesus Christ. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's the bread of life. That's our daily bread. They asked Jesus for, hey, give us a sign. Well, what did he just do for them? He just told them, you're not following me because of the sign you saw. It even pointed out to him that the sign that was given during Moses' time that God gave the people, it was to feed them. And Jesus had just done that. And they're still asking him, hey, well, give us a sign. They're so blind that they could not see. But then again, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. The bread of God was he who came down from heaven and gave his life so that we could live. Give us our daily bread. Give us Jesus. Give us his words. Let us be sustained. Let our souls not famish from the word, but give us our daily bread. Sustain us. Man shall not live by bread alone. Normally, it is better to be independent rather than dependent. But in man's case, the species, it is better to be dependent on God. It's a pity. We only partially grasp how great a provider we have with God. If only we could understand how much God loves us. How greatly he has provided us, just with the food alone, the different varieties of food. You know, it'd be one thing to be here, to exist as human beings. You don't have one thing you eat like paste, like some sort of paste, some kind of dull, bland, tasting paste. But God puts all these taste buds in your mouth, creates you with them, and then creates all these incredible foods for you to eat. The variety, how much God loves us and cares for us and nurtures us. In Matthew chapter 7, we turn to Matthew chapter 7, page away. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, Jesus is asking them a question here. He says, or what man is there among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Do we ask God? But here it's telling us, you give to your own, even the worldly people of the world, give to your own children. They ask you for food. You don't give them a stone, something inedible. No, you nurture them. He's saying that if you can do that, how much greater is God as a provider? if you ask Him. Do we seek God? Do we seek Him through His Word? Do we seek the bread of life? If we ask Him, will He not give us? Will He not fill us? As He has since the beginning. Like the sheep of the fold, we can lie down and rest because we have the Good Shepherd watching over us. Our future secure, our path laid out ahead of us, if we trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. You see, that's been man's problem since the very beginning. The very start is that man did not trust God. And you see what Abraham, when God told him to take his son and sacrifice him, Abraham trusted God. He didn't know, but he trusted God. He reasoned that God had given him the promise that through Isaac, all nations would be blessed. He reasoned that God, after he killed Isaac, Abraham reasoned to himself that God could bring him back to life, and certainly God could have. God didn't tell him that. God didn't tell him, I'm going to be bringing Isaac back to life. He just simply take him and sacrifice him, and he trusted God. Adam and Eve didn't trust God. They leaned to their own understanding. They saw that the fruit was desirable looking. It's been man's problem all along. I don't need to worship God. I don't need to be doing that. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Do not forsake it. Don't miss it. Don't fail to worship me. That's what God says. Man leans on his own understanding. Man says, I don't need to be there. I don't need to do that. We need to trust God and lean not on our own understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it tells us, examine yourself. This is what God's telling each and every one of his followers to do. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What? What do you examine? I obeyed the gospel back when I was 13. Of course I'm in the faith. I'm here, aren't I? Well, I may be here because mom and dad want me to be here, and I don't want to cause a fuss, or I'm married to somebody who's here. Well, of course I'm, you know, in faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Well, there are people that tell you today you can't be disqualified. Here it's telling you can be disqualified. Which one are you going to believe? You can be disqualified. Test yourself. Why test myself? Well, because you can be disqualified. You need to be committed. You need to be committed to God in the worship of God, in the serving of God, and through Jesus' church, and the preaching of the gospel. It tells you to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Are you really in it? As we live our lives over the years, we not only see the people of the world sinning and making mistakes, but also those within the church, within and around the church. What does that tell you? Did they examine themselves? Did they stop and look at themselves? We see the same thing. So if you were to examine your own position, would you see yourself as somebody that is thoroughly convinced about the doctrine that is preached? Are you totally on board with that doctrine? You believe it? Do you see yourself as somebody who is on the outside looking in? Have you ever seen yourself as like when the kids in the neighborhood, they get the game going, you know, basketball game or whatever, and they're like, no, we don't want you to play. You're on the outside looking in. They gather together, you know, they're going to play, they're going to have some fun, and you're on the outside. You're there. You're there, and they're there, and you're close together, but you're on the outside looking in. Do you feel like you're on the outside looking in? Are you committed? Do you believe? Religion is all about believing. Having a belief, believing. I believe that far too often people never look at themselves. They never really ask themselves, am I one of them? They think, I don't need to do that. I know myself well enough. To me, religion is about doctrine and worship. To others, it's about socializing and cheering, giving to others, doing good deeds to others, helping others who are in need. To me, it's about doctrine and worship of God. To others, it's a social organization. It's just a group of nice people. They get together and they shake each other's hands and they pat each other on the back. And they're good people and they want to help people. And they help people and they give money to people and they give food to people and they help people. And everything's great. Is that what religion is all about? To me, it's about doctrine and worship of God. Saving people's souls, giving them the bread of life rather than the bread that fills the stomach. But their souls are perishing because they don't have the bread of life in them. They are dying. Where is all the concern from all these philanthropists and all these people that think it's all about socializing when their souls are dying? These people's souls are dying. They're perishing. We sing the song, Rescue the Perishing. Well, that song is not talking about people that are in an actual physical shipwreck. We're not talking about going out and, you know, manning the old boats and getting our life jackets on and helping people out that, you know, during a storm or something. When it says rescue the perishing, care for the dying, it's not talking about people that are drowning out there in the ocean. It's talking about people who are dying spiritually. Their souls are perishing because they don't have the Word of God in them. They cannot stand. They cannot survive without it. And that's our job. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Snatch them in pity. Pity them. Have mercy on them. Provide for them the way we have been provided by our God. Nurture them. There is a certain amount of socializing in the church, but that's not the point of why we're here. It's nice to be among people who are of a like faith, but that's not why we're here. Are we in the faith? Have we examined ourselves? God tells us to do this, but this is not something that I see as just a one-time thing in your life. You know, you're like, you know, 17 years old, and you look at yourself, and I want to look at myself, see what I really believe. I've always said, know what you believe and why you believe it. Don't go through life, I got to go ask the preacher about water immersion baptism, whether it's essential or not. don't go through your whole life not knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Doctrine is important. Well, so is study. We study the Word of God so that we're not ashamed. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God so that we do know what each and every one of us believes. And it's great. When you have a group of people and they're all together and they're all like, they're not fighting over, oh, well, you know, maybe we ought to stop preaching about water immersion baptism. You know, it's real nice when you have everybody on the same page, when you have everybody believing the same thing about doctrine, doctrinal issues. That's very nice. But you've got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Because when you stand before God in judgment, He's not going to be looking at me. And He's not going to be looking at your dad or your mom or your brother or your sister. And He's not going to be asking them, why didn't you obey me? Why didn't you preach the one true gospel? Because the book of Galatians, hey, we can read it. We read what the book of Galatians tells us. It says anybody else preaches any other kind of gospel, let them be accursed. That's what God says. That's how serious God takes it. You better have the right religion. You better have the right doctrine. You have to decide what the truth is. And then you have to be totally committed to it. And then when you are, you're going to find it just as nice to be amongst those that believe the same thing you believe. Because when you're on the same page, it's nice when everybody's on the same page, and everybody together, working together, not arguing and fighting over doctrine. That's why you have so many different religions in the world. So, especially Christian religions, this is just splintered and fragmented. There's so many different ones, believing this, believing that. But what is the truth? That's what matters. What is the truth? Because we can see that it matters to God. It matters to God about doctrine. Jesus told His disciples, I'm not talking about bread, physical bread that you eat. I'm talking about their doctrine. You've got to have the right doctrine, and they don't. So beware of that. Don't fall in the same trap that they fell into. You've got to be right. You preach some other kind of gospel, you're going to be a curse. You don't want that. God's word is truth. You're going to get your doctrine. Don't get it out of a dictionary. Don't get it out of commentary. Get it out of the Bible. Get it out of God's word. It can be understood. Are we in the faith? That's an important question. Do we test ourselves? Do we look at ourselves? Do we ask ourselves, am I in the faith? Am I in it? We are, if we're doing what God wants us to do. We are, if we're doing what God wants us to do. From what I can tell reading the Bible, as far as man is concerned, God wants servants. I've never seen anything else in there that would indicate to me that He's looking for anything else from man, His creation of man, mankind, human beings, than servants. He wants us to be servants. That's what He wants, servants. Not leaders, not leaders, but followers. Not those who think and act on their own, but those who trust and obey. God wants servants. Do you want to be a servant? Do you want? A lot of people don't want to be a servant. A lot of people, the idea of serving and being a servant is not appealing to them at all. I'm too important to be a servant, they might think. No, you're not. I'm too rich. I'm too important. I've got things I want to do. I'm too rich and I'm too important. Even if they're not even rich, they still think they're too important. God wants servants, not leaders, followers. Those who trust and obey. Do you want to serve or do you want to be served? What's your attitude? Which way is it? Are you thoroughly committed? We need our daily bread. We need God's guidance. And we get that through the Word of God, the Bible. We trust that the Word of God, the Bible here, is God's Word, not some man, well-meaning or whatever, not some human being by their own human reasoning sitting down and saying, well, you know, I think it would be good if man did this and didn't do that, but from God the Creator, penned by human hand, but inspired by God. We trust that the Bible is God's words, and that God cannot lie. God will not lie to us. God will not lie, but He will provide. A great provider. When we turn to the Bible, we turn to His Word, we study it, we find out what His doctrine is, what God's doctrine is. We're not concerned about what we think is right or wrong, or how we should worship God. Well, I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to have some instrumental music and liven things up and make it more fun for us. Do things the way God wants us to do them. Or otherwise, what are we doing? What is anybody doing that's not doing things the way... What is anybody in any religion really doing if they're not doing it the way God wants them to do it? Do they really believe God's going to accept that? Just accept... Because I don't see that. I don't know where they get that idea that God's just going to accept just any old kind of thing. Because I do not see that anywhere in the Bible. If they got it, they got it from some other book that I haven't read. But from what I can see in the Bible, from the book of Genesis, where He told Adam and Eve, don't touch it, don't eat it, and they did it, it mattered that they didn't obey Him. It mattered a lot. He didn't like it. He didn't approve of it. He didn't accept whatever they wanted to do back then, from the beginning and all the way through it. It doesn't give me that impression that it doesn't matter to God what you believe, as long as you're sincere. That's just a lie. So it does matter. We know it matters. Find out what the truth is. Find out what the gospel is. Find out what the true gospel is and preach it. Don't preach anything else. Don't believe anything else. Just that. Why? Because it does matter to God. It proves it over and over and over again. We know that God expects every man to believe that He exists. He must believe that God exists. That He rewards those who diligently seek Him. That He brings life through His Son Jesus Christ, the daily bread, the bread of life. We know God exists. But will you confess it? If you will not confess My name before men, I will not confess your name before the Father. That's what Jesus, the Savior, said. He's the Savior, the one and only Savior. There is no other. There isn't anybody else to look to or turn to or go to. His own disciples said, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. His own disciples that followed Him around, He said, Jesus asked them at one point, everybody else is walking away from Him and leaving Him. And He asked His own disciples, are you going to leave too? And they said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. It's you or nothing. Are you willing to confess that Jesus is God's Son before men? Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus came here as a man? Formed in the flesh? He was lived here, gave us God's word. No, he didn't come up with stuff on his own. He spoke what the Father, God the Father, wanted him to speak to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe he came here in the flesh as a human being, as flesh and blood as I am? Here on earth, God's Son, God's only begotten Son, the Savior, God provided for us a Savior. We needed a Savior. Everybody needed a Savior. Everybody was condemned under sin, and the wages of sin is death. God provided, as he always has. When Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden right off the bat, God provided. When they were naked, he provided for them. Just like that. When they needed to eat, breathe, survive, so that they could glorify him, he provided for them. When men have faced trouble, God has provided for them. When men have sinned, and their only fate, their only future, was to be separated from God for the rest of eternity, God provided for them, a great provider. Will you humble yourself and accept his love? Will you confess? Will you humble yourself? Or are you too good? Are you too great? You too smart? You too rich? You too important? You got other things you want to do. God wants servants. Not people going off and doing what they want to do. But people who are servants. Serve. And be rewarded. The alternative is unthinkable. Heaven or hell, that's not a choice. Of course it has to be heaven. But pride gets in the way. Pride. I'm too important. I'm too big. I'm too smart. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to do it. Fine. God wants servants. Is that the attitude of a servant? No. You're weeded out. You disqualified yourself. It said, unless you're disqualified, you disqualified your own self. Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came here and he died for the sins so that you can be forgiven? Because somebody had to die. The wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. He died for you. Will you accept that? That gift? The gift of grace? Or will you say, no, I'm not ready. No, God. I'm not ready. Not for whatever reason. God knows who you are. Do you believe or not? If you believe, you may. If you believe, you may be baptized. In the name of God the Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the remission of your sins. So you can be added to the group of saved believers. You can be added to that group. You can go from being lost to being saved. From being somebody who's just going out there wandering around aimlessly, and it doesn't matter how long you live. If you live another 100 years, it ain't going to matter if you're not saved. People think, well, if I could just live another day, if I could just live another year, another 10 years, another 100 years, that would matter. It doesn't matter how long you live. How old you get, how many years you get under your belt, it really doesn't matter. You think it does, but it doesn't. When you stand before God, you're going to realize it didn't even matter. I heard the gospel. I chose not to obey it. I lived another 100 years, and it isn't going to matter one bit. The only thing that matters is being saved. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself. Obey the gospel. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your arrogant pride and accept God's gift through His Son, Jesus. Make that confession with your own mouth. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He died for me. And I'm willing and ready to show that I believe by obeying the gospel command to be baptized in His name and that of God the Father and the Holy Spirit, so that I can have the forgiveness of sins, so that I can be added to that group of saved believers. Why? Because the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If there's anyone in the audience today that has not obeyed the gospel, we are here and ready, and our baptism is ready and waiting. And we are here and ready and waiting. Are you ready? And if you're not ready today, will you be ready tomorrow? We're still going to be here. If the Lord willing, we're still going to be here. This building will still be here. But there'll be people, saved people, church will be here. Are you ready? Are you ready to start getting that daily bread? Give us our daily bread, the bread of life. Are you ready to obey the gospel? You ready to repent of your sins? You ready to turn away from that kind of life of the world? The sinning, disobedient, arrogant way of life of the world? And begin to live the life of a servant for the rest of eternity. If there is anyone subject, please come forward as we sing our invitation song.